is Sports Jam. I'm Doug Doyle. We are pleased to have Berklee College basketball well represented on Sports Jam. And my guests are the head coach, Chris Christensen, who has led this program to just unbelievable heights. And we also have the co-captain and point guard, number 13. I like the idea that he's number 13 and he excels. Jeffrey Mejia joins us. Gentlemen, thanks for being on Sports Jam.
Thank you very much.
It's a pleasure.
Doug.
Berklee's reign continues. Amazing contest and just an amazing finish to this tournament, period.
Well, 53 wins in a row is just a small part of the story of Berklee College basketball. You'll learn so much more about what this program really means during the course of this show. But, Coach, when you came to Berklee College, they didn't even have an athletic program. Why did you feel that it was necessary to start a basketball team at Berklee College?
Well, Doug, first of all, I believe that athletics is an important part of and the education of a student. So I wanted to see something start, and since I'm a basketball guy, I just decided, let me go around the school. Let me send a couple of flyers around and let me see how many bites I get. And it was unbelievable. I had over 25, 30 bites and just, you know, created a small team. And we started. And that's how it all began.
It all began and it continues because you've won 53 games in a row, your third consecutive USCAA Division II men's basketball championship. For those who aren't familiar with the campus in New York, tell us exactly where Berklee College is located, because there are several campuses.
Yes, Berklee College is located on 43rd Street between Madison and Fifth Avenue, right in the heart of New York City.
10 on the clock, under 4 to play. In the opening half, Mejia on the run in the lane, nearly lost the difficult pass inside.
One of the players that you noticed at a camp happens to be sitting across the table from you now, your co-captain at 5'10", Jeffrey Mejia. Jeffrey, do you remember the first time the coach came to watch you play?
Actually, no, because when the camp occurred, the coaches weren't able to physically approach you, so I did not know he was there. And it was actually a day after the matter that he reached out to me, gave me a cell phone call, and we chat, and he told me, hey, why don't you come down to the school, check it out, come work out with us and see what you think. And then from then on, we just bonded, and I wanted to join the program.
From reading that wonderful article in the New York Times about the team, I think it was just a dive for a basketball on the court that led to Jeffrey Mejia being a co-captain of this team eventually and a three-time champion.
It's amazing, yeah. Just shows how hard work can pay off and just how the little things matter.
Coach, take us back to that day.
Okay, I'm in a basketball gym with about 75 to 85 players, and there's about 7 or 8 coaches there. And the whole reason was for us to go there and just check out some of the guys that play in the Bronx. And I sat there, and I was there for about 3 hours. And I kept looking at this one kid who just seemed to stand out. I mean, there were shooters there. They were tall rebounders. But this kid just kept coming in and out of my mind because I could see the persistence in him in diving for a ball or getting a loose ball or getting a steal. And my opinion is that's guts. And when I see guts, I can teach him anything if he's got that. And that's why I called him, and that's why we were lucky to get him.
You know, I like to think, Jeffrey, that the success stories in athletics a lot of times becomes when somebody has an edge. For you, you even spent a year in a homeless shelter with your mother and your sister. And for someone to go through that experience and now to see this success on the basketball court and become quite a young man and already starting to give back, we'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. But your edge, when you were at that homeless shelter, take us to the mindset that you were going through and how basketball has made a difference in your life.
So when it first happened, I was actually ashamed. I didn't know how to intake it. But basketball actually served as an outlet. I mean, I was in my high school's basketball team, And it just helped me cope with the situation. And as I was going through it, I mean, basketball definitely, like, immensely helped me deal with it. I mean, I would go to school and think basketball, go home, basketball. And it was just a process. And, I mean, I learned a lot from that experience. And I'm glad that basketball actually helped me get out of that. And, I mean, it got me to where I am today. So I'll be eternally grateful for that.
Coach, when you first saw him play, you didn't know that as a teenager he was spending time in a homeless shelter?
I had no idea. No idea at all.
So once you did learn that, you probably realized, not only is he the guy who's going after the basketball, but he has something that he wants to show people.
Something special. And this young man, there's a lot of special things about him. And he just is somebody who does not stop working hard. I mean, and you got to understand, he goes to school in the morning. In the afternoon, he works, sometimes on weekends, 12-hour shifts at a pizzeria. And in the evening, he plays basketball. So this young man, he just doesn't stop. And I did want to tell you one great thing that happened today right before we came to your show. He was interviewed for a job on his internship, and he actually got the job today.
That at Bev Force?
Yes, Bev Force.
Nice. Congratulations to you. Tell us what Bev Force is.
Thank you. So Bev Force, well, that's an outlet of the company's called Force Brands. Bev Force, Food Force, and Beauty Force. And what they basically do is they're a staffing and recruitment industry that specifies in the beverage and food industries. And now they're implementing the beauty part to it. And they're just very unique. They help companies, I mean, develop their businesses and candidates, find positions, again, in the beverage and food industry.
Coach, we're hearing Jeffrey's story on Sports Jam, but there are many stories of the players that have gone through your program, even your assistant coach. You've done some amazing things. How does it make you feel when you hear Jeffrey talking about his new job and not only that, but volunteering at the church and becoming just quite a person?
Sometimes I'm just speechless. I can't believe it, yet I believe it. And, I often think back when I first started, you know, Berkeley's mission is to empower students to achieve success. And my inspiration with that is to try and change people's lives. And at the end of this, I'm looking at this young man who I met 4 years ago who basically, you know, was just a kid out of high school and wanting to play basketball. And now look at him. I mean, he's meeting some of his dreams so much quicker than he ever would have met. And it makes me proud. It makes me happy that I'm doing something that is actually changing people's lives.
We're speaking with Berkeley College basketball coach, head coach Chris Christensen, and also his co-captain, Jeffrey Mejia. Coach, you know, a lot of times when we hear that coaches and managers, they can change lives. But usually we hear about those coaches have usually had a pretty good run themselves. For you, you were down in the depths in the 1990s. Can you give us a little sense of how far you've come?
Well, in the early 1990s, four unbelievable things happened to me that were totally unexpected. My marriage failed. My father passed away unexpectedly. And 6 months later, my mother passed away. And probably within 3 or 4 months after that, they had a major downsizing in my organization, and I was one of the first ones to leave. I can tell you that when I left on that train home from the downsizing, I even missed my own train station. I was frozen in my mind and in my body. I just couldn't believe all of the things that happened. But I will tell you, the one thing that brought me out of all of this was my two children. I was given custody of my children, and I raised them while I was able to find a job that I enjoyed. So that being a challenge in my life, I learned how to supersede those kind of things and realize that, you know, I have one time on this earth and I want to make it the best. And that's why I chose teaching. It's something that I really have a passion about. My AD calls me Father Flanagan.
I'll be darned.
So I'm doing this for them. You know, the proudest time that I have is when I go to the graduation and I purposely try and get a seat right in that first row. I lead the teachers down the row, and they've given me that job. And I sit in that front seat, and I'm right by the stairs when they come down. And to see them coming down and to hug them and to know that they've made it, and then to meet their parents and see how happy they are, I realize that my job is done. But they always say to me, I'm here and I'm leaving in 3 or 4 years. And I say to them, you know, I'm the only one that's staying.
You're quite a father figure to your players. We know that. You're also the assistant chairman for Berkeley's management department and faculty member of the year in 2000. So you're not just a basketball coach. You're a teacher off the court as well. When you hear that story, Jeffrey, about what he has gone through and now he has helped people like yourself and your teammates, I guess that's why you want to play hard for this guy, huh?
Definitely. Definitely. He just pushes you, I mean, to bigger ends. When I first came in, I had a meeting with him after I decided that I wanted to come here. I mean, we sat down in a room, and he basically broke, I mean, everything down for me. I'll say it was life. I mean, he just told me about how education is really the main purpose for this. I mean, basketball, you could play, have fun, but you can only play for so long. I mean, I'm not pursuing going overseas, but I know that other guys are. And even if I was, I mean, what am I going to fall back on after I'm done playing? So that was just my main thing, and I bought into it, I mean, education. And I think that's why he's so impactful. He gives great advice. He cares. He's loving. Like you said, he's a father figure. And that's one of the things why I think he's so successful in impacting other people's lives.
But there's a lot of coaches who care a lot, and there's a lot of coaches who give up their own personal time to better the team. Why is this Berkeley College team so good now on the court that you've won 53 games in a row? Mercy was the team that beat you. The end of that was the last team to beat you. You even beat them in November again. So why is this team so good in your opinion?
I believe because we buy into it. So as I said, coach, all the coaches from the head coach to the assistant, they tell us what we need to do and how we need to do it. And we all simply buy into it. I mean, and it's like it's more of a family. I mean, the atmosphere in Berkeley and the basketball team is just amazing. I've never experienced anything like it. I feel that it's my second family. I mean, I can rely on anybody on the team, again, from the head coach to the last player on the team for anything.
Here's Merritt. Fires a three. Too strong on the rainbow. Long rebound, Mejia. Kicks for Jennings. He attacks, but a foul before the pass as he was looking for Green down low.
So it was 69-67 with 12 seconds to go in the game against Penn State York in the championship game. What's going through your mind with 12 seconds left? Oh, no, it's not going to be three championships. We're finally going to lose. Or was it, we're still going to win this game?
My mindset was we're still going to win this game. I mean, we were inbounding it, and I just knew something had to happen. And, I mean, Messiah's got the ball, top of the key, I remember. Took a couple dribbles between the legs, hesitated, got to the elbow, stepped back, and hit the shot, and it was just amazing. And then what transpired after that was even crazier. I'm sure you know about it, but it was 0.9 seconds left. And then they get put on the free throw line. It's a 1-1. Now I'm really like, wow, oh, my God, I can't believe this. No way. And then he missed. Then the ball bounces off the rim, the front of the rim. They go for the rebound. Another foul, 0.5 seconds left.
On you, on the defense.
Right.
So
right,
it's not like your offense, you got the rebound and you were fouled.
Right.
Berkeley made another foul in the play.
So he gets another chance. And then I'm just like, wow, like, there's no way. There's no way this is going to happen.
They have to do is make one, right?
Yeah, that's all he had to do. And he gracefully missed again, and then we got the rebound. And after that, I mean, I knew it was pretty much, there was no way we could lose after that.
And so you went on the overtime, and you end up winning the game 80-76 over Penn State York for your third consecutive championship. Props to Messiah Merritt, who had 28 points, and the guy you're talking about hitting that key shot to make it 69-69. So what was going through Coach's mind?
Well, first of all, we had set up that play for Messiah to get the ball. and that was a good call on our part. I think my concern was when the game was tied and those two fouls were called. If you looked at the game, you would have seen that the whole game I was standing up. When that occurred, I actually sat down. And in my own mind, I felt, I don't know, man. And I bring these rosary beads with me lately because of all the close games. And I actually was holding on to the rosary beads. And I said, God, please help me figure out how to tell these guys that they're going to lose. And right before I took my hand out of the pocket, I said, but God, if you could give me one more chance. And my God, you know, divine intervention, whatever you want to call it, that young man at the line, he was a nervous wreck shooting that free throw. And we got the opportunity, another chance. And then when the referee called that foul, which I can't believe that they would do that at that point, because it really could have gone either way, for him to miss it again, I knew once we had the overtime, this team is hungry. This team has been hungry for 2 years. Okay, they're not going to let me down. So the rest of the game, I stood back up. I told them what they needed to do. And I basically, without setting up even plays, I said, you've been through struggles all your life. Now this is your biggest struggle in front of you. Go out and win it. And they did.
You're listening to Sports Jam. I'm Doug Doyle. The Berklee College men's basketball team has won its third consecutive USCAA Division II men's basketball championship with an 80-76 overtime win, the Knights taking out Penn State York. I'm joined by head coach Chris Christensen and his co-captain, the point guard Jeffrey Mejia. Do you see this winning streak continuing for this team?
Definitely. I think with the guys we have coming back and hopefully recruiting that goes on, I think we definitely have a chance to keep going. And, I mean, why not a fourth one? Why not 100 games, you know? I never, coming into college, I would have never expected 53 games in a row. So, I mean, now the sky's the limit. I mean, why can't we keep going forward?
And the thing about it for me is that somehow the wins, that's just like – the icing on top of the cake for both of you. This winning streak is probably was unexpected. It was just the camaraderie, the athleticism, the team play that brought you both to do this. You had no idea that this winning streak would be a part of it, right?
Well, I'm going to tell you that the first 6 weeks of practice, we are so tough on these young men. We emphasize this one little thing, and it's called self-discipline. And if you come into the gym late, we send you home. They're not allowed to curse on the court during practice. So if you curse, you got to get down and you got to do 50 push-ups. And if you don't do all 50 push-ups correctly, you go out the door. And the methodology behind that is if you set something up as a plan early on, it's much easier to carry that plan through as you move on to the season. And I can tell you, maybe twice the whole season, someone was late. So that is the initial strategy, and then the rest of it just falls into place. But I knew with those five seniors out there starting, we were going to do very well. I didn't think we were going to do this well. But I knew we were going to do very, very well. And they kept us in every single game.
Have you ever had a chance to have a little chat with Bob Hurley from St. Anthony's?
No, I haven't.
I could imagine you two would have some wonderful stories to tell each other about impacting, you know, young men's lives. Very similar in how you approached the game of basketball and working with your players. Somebody who's very special to you doesn't even get a chance to come into the gym.
Charlie. Yes.
Who's Charlie?
Well, when I moved into New York City, my daughter actually felt, well, Daddy, since you're moving in and, you know, Eric and I are not coming with you, we would like to give you a present. And in a box comes, and in this box is this beautiful dachshund baby. And I really didn't want him. I really said, please, no. I just started the city life. I don't want to take care of a dog. But in 2 days, they left him there with me. And in 2 days, we became good friends. And he just turned 9 years old. He's my best buddy. I even have a picture of him on top of a basketball, and we sent it through the college. Someone that I talk to and doesn't talk back to me.
You can understand that, right, Jeffrey? Someone. Do you guys talk back to Coach?
No. We just
come on
listen.
Now. You have to be honest with me.
No.
It's all about respect, huh?
It's all about respect. You have to show respect. There's a must. That's one of the things that they first state, respect. We give respect to them, they give respect to us.
Can you go back to a time where you questioned whether Coach was teaching you the right stuff or just the right mentor for you?
This one time in practice, they were really beating us up really bad. And I understand why, but at the time I didn't. We were just, that practice, we were just a little rowdy, just like not listening, talking a lot and stuff like that, not paying attention. And Coach just was like, we're not practicing anymore, just get on the line, and we're going to do suicide the whole practice. And I mean, we did that for like about an hour and a half, just the whole practice, just running, no basketball action. And I was like, wow, what am I doing here? But I mean, after that, that could have been the only time. But after that, there's no question that like he's a great leader.
And when times get tough, like when you're down 69-67, that's where you can pull that kind of attitude out.
You recall that. You go back to those moments, and really they help you, motivate you to do better and perform.
And Jeffrey Mejia, 5'10 senior, out of New York as well, averages 2.8 assists per game.
Now, you've been a part of, you know, three championships in a row. What's been the best moment for you on the court as far as actual playing? Did you have a game that makes you think about, you know, boy, that was the pinnacle of my career? I had that many points or assists or whatever.
Right, against Mercy this year. It was a pretty close game, very tough. And I believe it was, I mean, maybe 30 seconds left in the game, and I was in the free throw line. We were only up one, I believe, or two, and they fouled me to go on the line. And luckily, I made both free throws. And so it gave us, I believe we were up by four at that point. And then they just weren't able to score. But I was just happy that I was able to secure the game and put it out of reach. And that was one of our biggest wins since they beat us last year.
You know, personally, I'm more impressed not the fact that you are the point guard for three straight championships. The fact that you're already giving back. You've already learned from Coach about giving back. You're already volunteering at the church. Tell us a little bit about your volunteer efforts, and now we know that you have a new job as well.
Mm-hmm. So that occurred when I was 15. It's called Mahan Bible Church, or MBCY. I began as a player. I was only 15 years old, and I played there for 1 year. And after the matter, I just fell in love with, giving back to the community. And I joined it right away when I was 16, and I'm still there. And it just feels good to give back. I mean, they were a major contributor to my development. So I felt, why not do the same for other kids? I mean, hopefully they could even be better than me, than what I'm becoming. So that's all I strive for. And I take that from Coach, who he gives back all the time. And I'm just striving to do that even further down my career.
You kind of said it there, but I want to give you another opportunity. There's another Jeffrey Mejia out there who either may be having tough times as a youngster or things haven't happened the way he actually wants it to, or could be a young gal. What would you say to them about turning your life around or having that inner strength to keep going?
I will say to always believe and have faith and always know that things are going to get better. I mean, you can't, just because you're in a tough situation, there's no need to put yourself down. Things will always get better. And just always work hard. Your work ethic has to be exceptional. And just go out there and do it. Be a go-getter.
Jeffrey stands at 5'10". He has to look up to his coach, Chris Christensen, who is 6'5". You tried a little St. John's basketball, but you didn't make the varsity.
No, I didn't.
tough teams at that time.
In those years, people don't realize that that was a championship team, and it was very tough to get on that team. But at least I got a chance, and I just played high school ball and loved playing, you know, street ball, and always was fascinated by it, studied it all the time, and just had this opportunity, and I wanted to do it.
Does he still mix it up with you guys out there, Jeffrey?
Yeah.
Is he pretty good still or what?
He has some. He actually he did a couple of drills with us. It was pretty funny. Everybody got excited.
Is he an inside player? Or is there, you know, he's tall enough, obviously.
Inside. He can shoot free throws.
Good free throw shooter?
He actually went at it once with a player, I remember. He was pretty good. He had about six in a row.
Can he box you out?
I don't know about me. Maybe. We'll have to see.
That might be a challenge for you two before he officially leaves the program, even though the games are over. Now, bringing that up, obviously, I think we're going to see you at the stands, no matter where you're working.
For
sure. You're going to be back supporting Berklee College Knights basketball, right?
Definitely. I plan to be at as many games as I can, even come to a practice here and there, maybe even join the coaching staff. I mean, I don't know, but I definitely want to be around Berklee for a while, for as long as I can.
Jonathan Pena was a player for you, and now he's an assistant coach with the Knights. You enjoy having players come back and be a part of the program, right?
Well, for me, one of the most important things in life, if you're working, is that you're only as good as the people that work for you. And if you look at my staff, three out of the four of them are people that actually have either worked for me or have played for me. And loyalty is so tremendous for me. It's one of my biggest things that I look at. And with loyalty, and I know that I can trust people, I then empower them. I give them responsibility. And that's what I think works with my staff. But you brought up Jonathan Pena, and that kid is just unbelievable. He came to me first year playing, and he sat on the bench. He was a good player, but he had a temper. And we had long discussions about it. We spent the whole summer about it. He worked out. He worked on it with me. I came back, and the next year he was MVP of the Hudson Valley. So, and he has, I mean, I have passion, but this kid is so passionate about everything, especially basketball, that I have to give him kudos for what he's done this year with me, because he's an unbelievable inspiration for these kids.
You know, if Charlie could talk, I'd love to interview him as well, because there's something about you, Coach, obviously, that you have left quite a legacy, and it continues at Berklee. What do you think it is? What's the one thing about you that makes you this legendary coach now at Berklee College?
I think I would go back to my parents. My parents taught me that it's better to give to people than to give to yourself. And that stayed with me for a very, very long time. And I think teaching and coaching has given me an opportunity to do that. And my father used to say to me, I want you to feel uncomfortable before you feel comfortable. And I never really understood what that meant until I became a coach. And what we're doing with these young men is we're making them feel uncomfortable in the beginning. We're changing what they're doing. We're trying to rearrange their value systems from the neighborhoods that they've come from. We're trying to change their attitude about the importance of school, getting a good education, and playing the game that you love. And all that that lack of comfort, when you learn it, you then become comfortable in your shoes. And I think that's what I would like to definitely leave this interview by, that statement that, you know, I want you to be uncomfortable first before you become comfortable.
Where would you be, Jeffrey, without Coach Christensen?
Definitely not here. I mean, coming out of high school, I had no real direction of where I wanted to go. And I give all the credit to Coach and the coaching staff and Berklee College for helping me build the path that I could go towards. So I don't know where I would be right now. I mean, I'm sure I would have been doing something positive, but not at this rate, not almost graduating, getting a job as I did now, and the most winning three championships, I would have never thought that that would happen.
You notice I never asked you how many points you scored a game.
Only I scored probably my career. I think this year I averaged 4.3. Didn't score much, but I didn't really matter to me.
It didn't really matter to me either, because it has nothing to do with what you bring to Berklee College and what you bring to Sports Jam, your presence here on the show. Greatly appreciate it. Continued success to you with your new job and with your family. I know you live with your family in the Bronx, an apartment in the Bronx. We wish them all the best as well. Coach, what can I say to you but 29-0 this season, 53 games in a row. Will you know how to react if you lose next year?
I can tell you that I'll love my players just as much, no matter what. I don't look ahead next season yet. I'm still trying to soak up everything that is experienced this year. I mean, I'm still not really experiencing it and feeling it totally yet. But we're going to shoot for it. We're going to shoot for it.
Berklee head coach Chris Christensen and co-captain point guard Jeffrey Mejia, our guests on Sports Jam. What an honor to have you both here.
Thank you so much for inviting us.
Thank
Appreciate
you,
it.
Sports Jam is a WBGO News production. You can check out all of the podcasts by going to WBGO.org/Sports Jam. Find Sports Jam with Doug Doyle on iTunes. Until our next Sports Jam session, I'll see you at the game.